This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
The Lord's blessing. Every now and then, we need encouragement. We are humans, we need encouragement, and God knows that. God made us like that. Courage literally means to put strength in the heart, encourage, to put strength back in the heart, to put the fight back in the heart, to put the will to continue back in the heart. And it's not because we're weak, we are like that, but God designed us to be like that, to be reliant on Him. We were never designed to be reliant on ourselves only. God designed us to be reliant on Him and on His community of people. And so we need courage. Every now and then we need encouragement. And God knows that, you know. Whether it's poverty, whether it's sickness, whether it's old age, whether it's your teenagers or your toddler, doesn't matter what it is, but life wears us down because of a constant. There's a constant striving. There's a constant need to put effort back into the game. And God knows that we are fallible and there is a limit to our strength and there's a limit to our power. There's a limit to our resources in terms of intellectual ingenuity, creativity. We are limited beings. Our power runs out. Our toddlers never do. Every now and then. Last night, what was one of those evenings where Psalm 23, I say that every single night before my kids go to bed because I quote that verse that says, I will make you lay down in peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I will make you lay down in peace. So we make them lay down. But we have a constant need for encouragement, for strength, for endurance. And at times we feel petty because we need that. This morning I'm going to tell you that God knows that because God designed us to need encouragement. When I think about this, I think about that the time when Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It's a time where everything in their life says that this cannot be the fullness of the blessing of life that we really actually anticipate. I mean, God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of prosperity, a land of peace, a land God promised to them, a land where their efforts yield something. So they had this anticipation, this longing for the fullness of the blessing of God. But during those wilderness wandering years, Israel was constantly faced with harshness, the harshness of this world, the fallibility of this world, the fact that they were daily reliant upon manna, something coming down from heaven, which they caused to ask, what is this, you know, what is this that I'm eating every single day? They were constantly in need of God's daily provision. I mean, the fact that you live in tents means that you are so vulnerable to the weather conditions, to the animals, to the scorpions and the serpents, which they experience in the wilderness, to the tribes wandering, the other nomadic tribes and the kingdoms that they wandered through. They were extremely vulnerable. There was no sense of security. There was, like, literally, they just felt vulnerable. And it was in this condition that God said, commanded, when He gave the law, that He said, priests of God, Aaron, you and your sons, every single day, when these people come to bring a morning sacrifice to me at the altar, every single day that they gather in my presence, I want you to speak these words over them every single day. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. Say to them, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. It wasn't Aaron's idea. It wasn't Moses' idea. God says, I want my words spoken over these people every single day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lifts up His face, His countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel. And God says, and I'll do this. I will bless them. You speak it, I'll do it. Every single day, Israel had to hear this. I want us to look at these words, sticky for sticky, piece for piece, phrase for phrase. I want us to speak. The first one, the Lord bless you. Every single day when Israel came after having their, what is this, manna breakfast, falling from the sky. Every single day that they had this experience of receiving the blessing of God, when they approach God in his temple, when they gather to God, and I'm going to say this about 10 times, why did they gather? Whenever they gathered, they recognized that we are God's people. And what did they recognize? That I am a fallible being. They come for the morning sacrifice to give God worship and to recognize, God, I am imperfect. But every single day that they gathered at the temple, they were reminded that God is a blessing God. Our Lord is a blessing Lord. It's God who gives generously. It's God who gives without limit. God's nature, his character is to bless, to give and to supply to the needs of his people. It's not our need. We don't, Jesus, he said it a few chapters later, after the 40 years in the wilderness. He says, and remember when you live in Hermanus, in your Strantes, eventually, and you sit on your stoop watching over full clip, you shall remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the hand of God, everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live as recipients of God's blessing. God is a generous God. He gives. And Israel, yes, I know that every single day you pick up your food, but know this, and this is the reason why you're wondering like this. I want it to be ingrained in your nature for 40 years, for a whole generation. I want you to learn this one thing, that I am a God who supplies all your needs. It really isn't up to you. I am a generous God. I bless. That's my nature. That's my nature. Daily you will receive. He satisfies the desire of every living thing, Psalm 107 says. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. The word here that that he uses, the word blessing, is amazing. It literally means barak. It literally means to bow the knee. So God says, this is the type of God that I am. I bow my knee as a servant to satisfy your needs. As a servant, I come to satisfy your needs. What, as though we are the masters. We are not. Absolutely not. But God says, if you want to know my nature, the first thing I want you to know is that I am a God who satisfies your needs. I'm a God who blesses you. That's my nature. I'm a God who blesses you. And it would have been absolutely unbelievable for us, except we see God in the form of Jesus doing this to his disciples, literally. In John chapter 13, in the night of his arrest, what does he do? He saw his disciples and he said, this is another opportunity to demonstrate who I am. And he bows his knees and he takes a cloth and a bucket of water and he washes their feet one after the other. And then Peter says, no, Lord, it's not your position to do this for me. And then the Lord says, Peter, if you don't allow me to live out my nature, then you have no part in me. I am a God who humbly blesses you. It's the nature of God. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. And every single day in these harsh conditions, they had to hear this. God saying, I am a God who blesses you. I am a generous God. He says, Aaron, I want these people to hear this every single day. I am a generous God. God is a generous God. It's amazing. What's it? Romans 8:32. During the early stages of Nero's persecution in Rome, Paul again writes to the church and he says, I know that you're suffering. I know that you're being persecuted. I know that it's tough for you. It's going to get worse, but I know that it's tough for you. I just want you to know this thing, that you can generously ask God everything. Yes, I know that you've already lost your jobs because of the religious persecution, but that he says to them that he who did not spare his own son for us, how much more will he not also freely with us, with him, give you all things? And doesn't matter which translation you read, it reads the same. That God is a generous God who displayed the greatness, the magnitude of his generosity in the giving of his son to forgive our sins. And he says, how much more will he not freely with him also give us all things? Our God is a generous God. He's a God who blesses. He opens his hand. He doesn't just give it to good people, but he says, I make it rain on the just and the unjust. I am a good God. I am a generous God. The second thing that Moses and his priest had to say to Israel on a daily basis as they gather at the tent is that, Israel, I know that you're living in tents. I know that there's literally nothing that protects you. There's literally nothing. Not from the weather or anything. It's just me. It's just me. There's nothing else. But know this, that I am the God who keeps you. I am the God who preserves you. I am your shield, he said to Abraham. Your exceedingly great reward. David knew God as his shield as well. He says, I'm a shield all around you. Years later, when the descendants of Abraham went into exile, spent 70 years in exile, came back, the prophet Zechariah quoted, when their walls were broken down, they came back to Jerusalem, just a small group of people, not the full nation, just a few returned, and they returned in phases, in hordes, came back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. But the walls were desolate, the walls were broken down. There literally was nothing again keeping them from the enemies attacking them on the outside. And then Zechariah says exactly the same thing. He says, thus says the Lord, I am a wall of fire all around you, and I'm the glory in your midst. Exactly what he did to Israel in the wilderness. I am the wall of fire around you. At night, I am the ball of fire all over you, and in day I'm a cloud. I will not make the sun scorch down on you, nor the coldness of night to take you out. God is a gracious God. He keeps us. He preserves us. Psalm 121, beautiful psalm. Indeed, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. In the last two verses, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. Know that the Lord is our preservation. He's the one who keeps you. And God wanted Israel to know this every single day, that you are not alone. I will never leave you, forsake you. I am he who watches over you. It doesn't mean we will not go through hard times. I just want to put this in here. I think a previous time that I was here, I did speak about Daniel and his friends, or Daniel's friends in the fire, or Daniel in the lion's den. It doesn't mean that our life will be easy. But what God does, he says, I promise to preserve you. I promise to preserve you. Jeremiah, he said before they went into exile, he says, say to the people of Israel, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. It will not touch you. And when you go through the water, it will not overwhelm you, says God. I am he who watches over you. I will keep you from falling. I will keep you from fading. I am your keeper. It's the nature of God. I'm a God who protects. I am the one who watches over you. The third thing that Israel had to hear on a daily basis, God knew that Israel had to hear on a daily basis, is this. And I think you will enjoy this. You know, when we go through hardships, I've seen this. We see it in the book of Job, but we always do this. It's like, is God angry at me? We see it in the Psalms of David. God, why have you forgotten me? You know, why are you angry with me? Why are you doing this to me? God, what have I done? We see Job fighting with God, saying, you're wrong. I'm suffering, but this is not right, God. Are you angry with me? I think you have a wrong account, because that sin that you're punishing for me, it wasn't me. Now, most of us aren't righteous enough to tell God that I'm unaware of any sin in my life. We're married. Our spouses know that. Our kids know that. They cause it. It's a grappie. But it's amazing that even Job, even righteous Job, he thought that God was punishing him when things go going bad. So imagine living in the wilderness. You've just been delivered by God from the greatest empire available. God says, with my outstretched arm, you know, I've saved you. I've saved you. I've literally obliterated. I've oblivinated. Whatever that English word means. But that I never said, I was next word. The Egyptians. You know, there's literally nothing left after Pharaoh says, I'm God. You can't touch this. And then he was wiped out. And now they're living in these harsh conditions on a daily basis. And it happens to all of us. You're wondering, why me? What have I done to deserve this? I've heard so many people go through, you know, the either cancer or just the sickness or death of a child. And they always want to go, why me? Why are you doing this? What have I done wrong, you know? What have I done to deserve this? On a daily basis, God said, when my people stand before me, tell them, my face is beaming when I look at you. I am not angry at you. I am not angry at you. I am not angry at you. I am happy to see you. I am delighted to see you. My face is beaming when I look at you every single day. Know this. I love you. I'm beaming at you. I'm like, and he says this even before he says, I forgive your sins, because the next phrase says, the Lord be gracious to you. So he's saying, like David understood, he says, the Lord delivered me because he delighted in me. Or later when the prophet again says, I'm dancing and singing, I'm twirling about as a crazy young man, Isaiah 62, like a lovesick husband, I'm dancing over you. God says, I love you and I'm happy to see you. I'm not sad to see you. Coming from a religious background, I'm sure like many of you. Excuse. The words, Lord says about Samuel that not one of his words fell to the ground. My sermon nearly did. Anyway. I get myself now eat my punt uitgelach. Anyway. The Lord makes his face shine upon you. It's like there's... Coming from a religious background, like many of you, I always had this tendency, this thought that God is tolerating me, you know, or that he's, you know, that he's okay with me, you know, like, okay. But this text, like so many of the portions in the Bible, says that God delights in you. When you walk into the room, my face lights up. A few weeks ago, Easter weekend, we went away as a family to Hermanus. Ach, to Hermanus, we're here now. To Stillby. That's what pastors do. We go on holiday the whole time. Anyway, to Stillby. My wife was off for the weekend. She works as a doctor. Had a crazy time recently. Went to Hermanus. She came back a little bit earlier to work. Pastors don't work, so I stayed there. And I still by for another few days with the kids. And as they came in, As we came back from holiday, it was amazing to see my kids and my wife's faces when they saw each other. It was just 4 days, 3 days. It's literally Marguerite and Nathan ran, and their faces and my wife's face was beaming to see them again. And this is the picture, exactly the picture that this text tells us, that the Lord's face beams over you. And he said, priests, say this to Israel every single day. You make my face light up. I'm really happy to see you. I'm glad to see you. Every single day that you come to the temple, I am happy to see you. I'm happy to see you. I want to encourage if you struggle with this idea that God's face beams when you walk into the room, or when he thinks about you, or when he looks at you, if you struggle with this idea, then say this blessing over yourself every single day, because this is true. For all God's people, I delight in you, says God. You are to me a royal kingdom. A few verses later, he says. The next one, Israel needed to hear on a daily basis that God is gracious to you. I don't know if you, when you read the wilderness accounts, now obviously it's a summary, it's very packed for 40 years, but it's very packed. But you can't not but be amazed at the sinfulness of these people. It's amazing now. Like, really, you're going to go in rebellion again? Or really, you are making yourself an idol? You just came out of Egypt. You just saw God save. Really, you're going to worship an idol now? It's not 2 weeks. It's not 2 weeks. And then, living long enough, you look at that text and you go like, I am amazed at the sinfulness of humanity, of me, how absolutely unstable we are, how it's not possible for us to do right for a season. It's amazing. And that's why this text was so good to hear on a daily basis. That God's nature is a gracious God. God is a gracious God. God is, the Bible says, ready to forgive. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne, but mercy and truth proceed from his face. When he looks at us, he gives us grace. He is a gracious God. He is ready to forgive. Psalm 103, so beautiful. After singing about how the Lord forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases, verse 3, he says, like a father with his children, so the Lord thinks of us. He remembers us and he's gracious to us because we are dust. He knows we are fallible. And for that reason, so much more does he love us. He shows so much more compassion. Where sin abounds, Romans 5:20, where there's an increase in sin, there's an increase of grace from God's side. God desires relationship with us, knowing that we are fallible. He doesn't get displeased or disorientated or anything. God delights in us always. His face is always shining because he's always gracious. His nature is gracious. I love David. Just David was a man after God's own heart. David knew this about God. After porn, watching on the roof, moving over into adultery, moving over into murder, complot to kill one of his generals, you know, and then hiding it all and making himself above the law of God. We know something about that in our country. Make himself above the law, you know, because he's king. He can. Then God sends Nathan the prophet. But David knew this about God. He fell on his face after pleading to save his newborn child, which didn't happen. David stands up, washes his face, anoints himself, puts perfume on him, reminds himself that he's God's anointed, goes into the temple and worships God. David knew that God is a gracious God. Psalm 103, which I didn't quote earlier, he says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Like a father with his children, so the Lord shows compassion because he knows that we are fallible. He knows it. God does not treat us according to our efforts. God does not love you more, and this is what the psalm says, God does not love you more when you do right and love you less when you do wrong. God's love is constant. His mercies are new every single morning. Lamentation says, great is his faithfulness. God is a gracious God. I just want to add one bit, just to bring out the clarity of the gospel, because we know God now, but just to bring out the clarity of the gospel in this text. 1 John we know so well. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If, however, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of the effects of unrighteousness. Beautiful picture. Now, knowing this text, all of us can agree that God is faithful to forgive our sins. It's his character. You know, this is what John says. God is faithful. He's dependable. He's reliant. He doesn't change. We know that God forgives sins. Why? Because that's God's nature. He is a gracious God. I am a gracious God. But then I always wondered about faithful and just. You know, how can God be just to forgive sins? I mean, isn't he gracious when he forgives sins? He's not just when he forgives sins. Until you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus literally, all our sickness, all our sins, all our iniquities, our transgressions, all the types of sins that we had, he literally embodied it. He took it upon himself, took the wrath of it, and he died. And then he resurrected. So when God says he's faithful and just, that's what he refers to. That God is just. God will be unjust if after my confessing my sins, he punishes me for my sins. Because a righteous judge cannot punish two people for the same crime. Did Jesus indeed carry my fornication, my adultery, my lying, my theft, my dishonesty? Did he really? Because if he did, if I confess it, God is just to forgive it, because the penalty has been paid. The penalty has been paid. He's faithful in his nature. In fact, he's so gracious that he made provision for the forgiveness of our sins 2,000 years ago. He's faithful and he's just. What a gracious God do we serve. What a gracious God. So the Lord bless you and keep you, makes his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. And then this one, the Lord lifts up his face upon you. I love this text. I try to practice it. That whenever one of my kids enter the room and I'm busy working, and it happens frequently, especially for Sunday morning service preparation. Anyway, to stop what I do, to turn my chair and to look at Marguerite or to look Nathan in the eye. And this is exactly the picture that he gives you. He says, God lifts up his face whenever you enter the room. It's not just his face lights up when he thinks about me, but God gives full attention to you. God is attentive to you. God notices you. The Lord is the one. And he says, Israel, I know that you're walking around in the wilderness, and I know that you're going to write psalms in this wilderness that says, Moses, that you think God has forgotten you, Psalm 90. But I want you to know this. God does not forget you. Whenever you enter, open your mouth, whenever you speak to him, the Lord notices. God takes note. He pays full attention. God does not forget you. God is thoroughly aware of you. The Lord knows you. He knows who you are, and that's why David later, when he writes the Psalm 139, he'd say, yes, God, to be honest, I can't run away from you, but you notice me the whole time. You follow me all around. Not one of my hairs fall to the ground without you noticing. God, you are thoroughly aware of me. Not in a distance knowledge in a database, but you are with me, David says. And this is what the psalm says, what this blessing says, that God is constantly aware of you. It's amazing. Genesis, so many places in the Bible. God hears. The Lord really takes note of your words. Here's this one picture where Hagar, one of the accounts, where Hagar, Sarah's maidservant, she, because of the harshness, she fled with her child Ishmael in her arms and she ran away into the wilderness just to escape the harshness, the punishment. And as she escapes, she doesn't have any water left. She sits in a bush. The child was crying because it's going to die from thirst. She puts him down. She puts him down under a bush. She can't stand watching him die, so she goes around the corner in a rock and she hears him cry. And then the Lord surprised her in saying, Hagar, I have heard the crying of your child. I have not forgotten my covenant with you. Pick up your child. There's a well there in front of you. God is that God who, when you cry, he takes note. When you're angry and say stuff, he takes note. Not in a judgmental point first. He notes because he cares for you. That's why the Bible says, cast all your cares on the Lord, because he really cares about you. He takes note. Don't shut your mouth. I remember a few years ago, I was going through I was just not praying. And I was aware that I'm not praying. I don't know why I wasn't praying, but I wasn't praying. You know, I used to be a man of prayer. And then I remember just sitting down to God, and you know, you're ashamed that I'm not talking. I'm ashamed that I'm not praying, and therefore I'm not praying. It's like stupid. Some of you will understand that. Some of you can judge that. It's fine. So I was praying, and I said, "Yah, Yara," okay, I'm going to translate. But God, I haven't been praying for a while. I'm sorry. I don't know why. And then the Lord just surprised me with these words, saying, "Ross, I know your voice. Whenever you open your mouth, I take note." And then he says, "Talk. I'm listening." It's like, God knows. He listens. Malachi says, I listen to the conversations of the righteous. God is aware of you, every bit of you, of your life situation. He is not distant. He is aware, and he's very interested. Cast your cares on the Lord. He really cares for you. And then the last one, he says, The Lord bless you, keep you, makes his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lifts up his face whenever you enter a room. And then he says, the Lord gives you what please. And Israel needed to hear this, because everything of their daily wanderings and the sufferings said that this is not shalom. This is not it. This is not it. I think God forgot about his promise, because this is not the peace that I left Egypt for. Yes, it was bad, but this is not good. I'm free, I'm andla, yippee, but this is not good. This is not good. This is suffering on a daily basis. But this is what he said. The Lord gives you peace. I am the God who has your shalom, your welfare, life in abundance. I have it on my heart. And we know that years later, before the exile, he said through Jeremiah the prophet, I know the plans that I have for you, says God. Yes, you're going for 70 years in exile, but know what I intend for you is life in abundance, overflow, plans of shalom, of peace, and not of harm, to give you a life and to give you a future. And this, on a daily basis, Israel heard, God says, I want to bless you with peace. But this is what I want to point out. The Lord bless you now. Dallas Willard, one of the people that I love reading, I just sometimes take along because he's so intelligent and I have to read it a while. But one of the things that he frequently says is that I can't even say it in the bright way that he does, so just I'm going to wing it. I must still find a man in a situation where God is going to bless apart from where they are now. And what he's trying to say is that God wants to give you peace now, Israel, in the wilderness. I want you to experience the fullness of my shalom now, because I provide for your daily need. I preserve and protect you. I comfort you. I delight in you, in who you are. I'm gracious to you where you are. I'm fully attentive to you, says he. He says, I want to give you shalom here, life in abundance now. I want you to experience the fullness of my kingdom of peace now, here. And this is what I extend to you now, because I am with you now. And this is what God wants, and this is what God delights in. I want to give you peace. What's it? Isaiah 54, verse 10 and 13, I think, is that beautiful promise. That the chapter heading is the covenant of peace, the unending covenant of peace. He says, though the mountains, and you can see it here in Hermanus, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, I will not take my unfailing love for you, says the Lord. It won't be shaken. And my covenant of peace with you will not be removed. And then he continues to a scripture which meant something for me this morning. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and I will make them dwell in peace. He says, my covenant of peace will not be taken away. I have a desire for welfare. On a daily basis, say to the people that the Lord bless you and keep you, makes his face shine upon you, grant you peace. Every single day, hear this. And this is what he says. Maybe just the next slide, please. He says, I will put my name. As you say this to them on a daily basis, I will put my name on them. I will mark them in my identity. I will make them share my identity. And it means two things. The first thing is, imagine hearing this every single day of your life. What happens is you grow up to know that this is the character of the God that saved you, because you just came out of Egypt. There were a gazillion gods and a gazillion things happening there, and they are harsh and they like look strange and they condone slavery. That they are harsh gods. He says, but I want you to know who God is. I want you to know that this is the God that is promising you a life of peace ahead of you. This is who I am. I am a God who blesses and preserves. I am that God. Every single day, we say this to know it. But a second thing happens, that as you hear this on a daily basis, we are immersed in, as we behold him, we become like him. As we worship him, we become like him. As we spend time in his presence, as we know who he is, as we come to know that this is who this God is, that God is a gracious God, God is a generous God, God is a God who watches over the weak, who preserves us, and who desires good things for us, we become like him. And putting his name on it is not a distant thing. It's like we are known. People know God because they see Israel. And this is what God says over and over to Israel in his law, that you represent me. That people will know who I am because of the laws that you, because of the way in which you live. We resemble God. And this is what I love for us. And this is the community that God is. This is the God who is the God of Shofar Hermanus. But this is how you are getting known, how God is getting known, because of your lives. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we were so blessed to listen to a testimony of one of your people when there was violence in Hermanus, and this church became a night shelter and a bit of a place for healing right here. I want to say that God's name is being put on you. People get to know God because of your actions. People know that our God is a God who protects the weak and the foreigner. He commanded us to do that, but we can see it. They don't know that God commanded you to do that. They just know that you do this. They know that God is generous because you open your hand wide for whoever has need. And that God is gracious because when someone offends you, you forgive them. They know that God is a God of peace, not just because he promises peace to his elect people, but he promises peace to the world and to your community, welfare to your community. His kingdom comes through you. His kingdom of peace manifests through you because you live here, because of the environment that God creates through you, because of your lives. As you know him, you become like him, and you know that God is friendly towards everyone and interested in everyone. People know that because you pay attention to whoever is created in the image of God. It's amazing. God says, I will make my nature known. I will put my name on them. And then the last one here. Tell the priest to speak it. Say it to them every single day. And God says, this is what I'm going to do. You can boast in my generosity. You can boast in my protection. You can boast in the fact that I love and delight in my people. You can boast about the fact that I have plans of prosperity and peace for them. You can boast about everything about me, says God, because God says, this is who I am. I'm going to live up to whatever you boast. You speak it, says God, I'll do it. That's who I am. It's not empty promises. This is who I am. I am powerful enough to live up to my reputation, says God. Guys, I can tell you that our God is a generous God who delights in you, who has plans of peace for you and plans of prosperity for you, that who really loves you. It doesn't matter what you did in your life or what you, some of you have just come to Jesus and some of you have been living with God for many years, like David when he sinned. It doesn't matter how long you walked with God if you have failed in obedience to him. God is gracious. Our God is the God of a second chance. He makes all things new. Everything. His mercies are new every single morning. You can depend on God's graciousness, just like you can depend on his provision. Even if you've wasted, due to stupid living, the blessings that is given to you, when the prodigal son returns, he receives an inheritance from the Father. God is big enough to give, to restore, to make all things new. That's the God that we serve. So I'm going to pray for us now. I'm simply going to pray this prayer, this Lord's blessing. And then after that, I want you to take a moment. I want you to think of the one part of the Lord's blessing that touches your heart the most, that you need to hear the most now, the one part that you need to experience the most now. And then I'm going to ask you to be bold, to turn to one person. If your spouse is sitting next to you, maybe the two of you can turn to someone else. To bless. I didn't mean that funny. there's a marital situation right there. But anyway, but to turn to someone else and to just speak this blessing in your own words, just pray this blessing over them. If you need to hear the most that God is a God who gives, that is generous, then just speak it over that person. Because as you speak it over, God says, you speak it, I do it. That's my nature. God invites us into relationship as priests with him. God, we thank you that you're a gracious God, Lord. I thank you that we know, God, that you're a God who generously gives, God. Your hand is wide open. You satisfy the desire of every living thing, God. All the birds, all the lilies, God, you are a God who clothes and satisfies the need of every living thing. You are a generous God, Lord. Lord, you own the cattle and 1,000 hills, God. You are not a poor God. You're a generous God, Lord, who daily satisfies our daily needs. So thank you, God, for blessing this church, Lord, with their daily needs, God, what they need, God. I thank you that like a servant, God, we can't imagine this, but this is what you say, God. Like a servant, God, you come to satisfy their needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. God, you are a blessing, God, a Lord who protects. You are a wall of fire around us, God. In this turbulent times, God, in this violent nation, God, you are the wall of fire all around us, God. Nothing can separate us from your love, God, literally nothing, God. You are the wall of fire all around us, God. You preserve our faith and our identity, God. We thank you that we can bank on your protection, God, that nothing will by any means touch us, God, because of your goodness. And even though we go through the fire, God, it won't quench us, God, and the waters won't override us, God, because you are able to keep us, preserve us in the fire. God, we thank you that you are gracious, Lord, freely forgiving all our trespasses because that's who you are and you've made provision for it in Christ Jesus. I thank you, God, that you are the God, Lord, who pay attention, Lord, who look up and your face beams over us whenever we approach you, God. I thank you that you take note, that you are aware, and that you invite us to cast our cares over you, God, because you care for us. Thank you for the path of peace, Lord, the plans of peace that you have for each one of us here. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, lift up his face whenever you approach, and the Lord grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and just bless someone next to us.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.